hear you, Bob. But we're on the air, I understand.
Track five.
You want us to go live on the air right now?
Yeah.
Okay, we're having this little bit of this was a pre-recorded program, by the way, so there's a little bit of a hang-up over there. I saw you in deep thought, Dale. during the break, were you contemplating the talking?
Well, I was listening to the young ladies talking about the program that we did at Pioneer, and I was just amazed at what they picked up on. I think it's so fascinating to listen to them.
I think we got it now, folks. Stand by.
And we're back on Veterans Radio, and this morning we're talking to Brent Richards, who's a teacher at Pioneer High School, and three of his students, Laura Adams, Hannah Alexander, and Mari Issa, who were in a class that the Vietnam veterans did a presentation on, three periods long. It went by as fast for us as this program is going by. Brent, I want to ask you a question in a minute, but I wanted to finish up with Mari. When we were talking about, when I asked the question about could you picture us at that age rather than the old people sitting in front of you, what were your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts were I was trying to imagine the situation that you were all in and trying to put myself or my classmates in the same situation, because really you were only a couple years older than us when this was going on. And I just couldn't even imagine it. I couldn't imagine some of my friends who are 18 or 19 going to a completely foreign country they've never seen on a map, never tried to look for, and putting their lives at risk. I just couldn't even imagine it.
You know, it's interesting because we judge everything on that about were you old enough to drink beer. And you kids today, honestly, I'm not just saying this, appear to me to be so much more responsible than we were at that age. But the fact that you couldn't even drink, you go off to war, and then you go through all these experiences, and when most kids came back, they weren't old enough to drink. And in those days, they weren't old enough to vote. It was the Vietnam War that actually brought that about, was that people were saying, hey, if they're old enough to go to war, they're old enough to vote. And that was what brought the voting age down to 18. Brent, there's not many teachers that put on programs like you put on. What would you say to them if you were standing in front of an auditorium of teachers?
I think that the program that we put on, there's a lot of ways to look at it. But I think the value of it, and it really does have a lot of value, is that in class, we can use the resources that we have, the textbooks and videos and articles and things of that nature. But I think our textbooks tend to come at it from a perspective like we were talking about, or one of the ladies mentioned a little bit earlier, that they don't really bring the personal stories to the forefront. And regardless, and I think one other thing I would say about that is our textbooks tend to teach us that that Vietnam was a shameful period, and that I think we get the impression oftentimes that the people that fought in Vietnam or served in Vietnam hold with them a lot of guilt and a lot of shame. And unfortunately, that's the perspective that too many people kind of hold and don't really see any other side. And bringing you guys into the auditorium, I think, provides some kind of a personal story on one level, but also brings a perspective in that says, no, we're not all ashamed of what we did. We answered the call. We did what we were told to do. Things may not have turned out the way that people would have hoped, but yet we have no shame in what we did.
You touched on something there, and one of you, may have been you, Hannah, I don't know, but if I were to ask the question, which war were there more draftees, World War II or the Vietnam War? Which would you think? You probably know where this is going right now, but which would you have answered, Hannah?
Well, I would say the Vietnam War.
More volunteers?
Or no, more drafted.
Right, which is one of the myths. In World War II, almost three-quarters of the people were drafted, and in Vietnam, almost three-quarters of the people volunteered. Does that catch you by surprise?
Actually, it really does.
Okay. That's one of the myths of the Vietnam War, that everybody was drafted. When we do programs, and when we did early programs with you, Brent, it was a class would come in, and we would address them, and then they would go to their next classes, then another class would come in and we would talk to them, and then another class. And the kids in the first class would get a whole different program than the kids in the last class, because as it goes on and you're repeating these things over and over again, all the first class is kind of lighthearted and people joking around a bit, and the last class is very, very serious and gets kind of emotional at times. How difficult was it for you, Brent, to get this program set up where the classes came in and then stayed in there? It was a lot easier on us, I'll tell you that.
Well, I'm impressed that you remember that far back, because as you were saying that, I had to think back. And yeah, that was the way we did it. 50-minute class periods, three different classes, or depending on how many sections I had, each class would get 50 minutes with you guys. And the way that we did it, you know, that was kind of the easy way to work it out in the beginning. But what we learned from that is that, yeah, they get different stories and different programs, but there's also so much more that the kids wanted to get. And every year we do this, we get some feedback from the kids, and they really wanted to hear more, ask more, get more out of you guys. And so setting up the program really wasn't too difficult. Some teachers that use that auditorium we use are pretty flexible in allowing us to use that for an afternoon. And then the rest is kind of on me. I make sure kids show up, I take attendance, and excuse them from their afternoons.
And supply pizza for us.
That's right.
From the other teachers, it takes cooperation for sure. You to say, I want to keep them here for three periods.
It sure does. I think, you know, at Pioneer, I don't have a lot of guilt in asking that, because we really share students a lot for a lot of different things. And we have field trips. We have other types of activities, athletics that kids are involved in. So, you know, I certainly appreciate that kids are allowed to come. But if they have something that's really pressing, you know, I'll flex with that too and allow them to do that.
Have you ever thought about doing an article or in one of the publications, the teachers' publications, about how you put on the Vietnam War classes?
It's a good question. Honest answer, that has not crossed my mind, but it really is something that I think in future years, next year, would be worthwhile.
From your perspective, you guys, did you feel that you were getting honest answers? Let's take you, Mari.
I definitely felt that we were getting honest answers. Some of the questions that were asked were pretty difficult, and it seemed to me that the people that were there were not ashamed of the answers. Maybe they've come to terms with them. I got the feeling that it was therapeutic for you, and it was, you know, very educational for us, and we really appreciated the honesty that you showed.
Part of the therapy for us is for you kids to learn what's not myth. How about you, Hannah?
I didn't think that honesty was a problem at all, actually. I think that you were very, very, very honest. I think that I personally would have felt like maybe you each could have gotten a little bit in more depth about your individual stories. Teenagers, I think in general, we kind of gravitate towards the gruesome and violent stories, and that's the kind of thing we want to hear. And whether or not you can supply that for us, I thought maybe in next year's, if you all, after you explained your story, you each had maybe one or two really exciting or eventful stories in your life that you could think about and that you think that we would want to hear, that would probably stick with us in our minds the best.
That's pretty interesting. Now, if you go to Veterans Radio Archives, and let me give you a couple of programs. One is called Docs, and a doc is a medic or a corpsman. You know, in the Army, they're medics, and in the Navy, they're called corpsmen, and the Marines have Navy corpsmen up there. I had an Army medic and a Navy corpsman on here and did an interview with them. When I was it took 5 months to line it up, because I would see the medic once a month and ask him, you know, would you come on and do it? You don't have to give me an instant answer. Think about it for a month and I'll see you next month. And after 5 months, he finally agreed and brought a corpsman friend of his on with him by telephone. And the stories that they told, my friend, the medic, he said, well, how deep do you want to go? He said, I can have people throwing up all across the country. And I said, no, not that deep, but I want them to know the price that was paid for their freedom. So if you were to go on Veterans Radio to our archives and listen to Docs, if you listen to Chosen Reservoir, if you listen to Pork Chop Hill, if you listen to Battlefield Promises, that's a Vietnam one, pretty astounding what that guy went through, pretty astounding. And Laura, did you hear anything of that from your friends about they wanted to hear more stories?
Yeah, a lot of my friends really enjoyed the stories, but always had more questions and wanted more, always more.
One of the things that the guys, there's two factors at play there. One is it's painful to talk about some of those things, but the other one is we don't want to scare the kids, you know, and that would be very easy to do. Brent, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Hannah.
I just want to say one thing that I notice a lot is that we are very much visual learners, and I had an idea that maybe in future years, if this was even possible, I understand that many of the war movies made are taken from real experiences, and many of you said that, like, we were soldiers, you really can identify with some scenes or parts, bits and pieces from these movies, and I thought that maybe if you could each take a segment or a scene from any given movie and put it over or in the video and as your bio and say, this is what my experience was like, that would give us a real live visual and be really, really, we could really identify with that, I thought.
There was Mr. Richards passed that question on to me or that comment on to me, and immediately one popped into mind, but it would be very controversial, very political, and I still think that it would be it was a scene from the movie Hamburger Hill. And if you were to watch that movie, Hamburger Hill, you would see, one, what those guys went through. And I had a couple of guys on here that were in that battle. They were on for the last day, so I'm going to get some guys in that were on for the entire 10-day battle. But there was something a politician said in that movie. So if you were to get the movie Hamburger Hill and look for the scene where one of our politicians was speaking up, you'll know what I'm talking about. Brent, did you feel that you would like to have seen from this program that didn't come out that you were hoping would come out? Anything?
Well, I think what Hannah was saying is right on. When I talk to the kids, as I think I mentioned before, we always, after the day after, we'll talk about it. And the kids did indicate they'd like to hear more personal stories. We read all of the bios and so forth, but I think hearing it actually come out of the mouths of the people on stage really kind of fascinates the kids and draws them in.
We'll have to talk about that before next year and before we talk to other classes. And we're coming up on a break. You're listening to Veterans Radio, coming to you on Ave Maria Radio. And we'll be right back right after these messages.